Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
You've got to be very, very careful with anything in your life that makes you a promise or makes you feel like you're able to disassociate from life. If there's anything coming your direction, if there's any path you're looking at that you go, you know what, if I go down that path, I can kind of get away from everything. I'd be careful of that path. When I'm walking down that path, I feel like I'm all alone. I'd be careful of that path. When I'm walking down that path, I forget about my work, I forget about my job, I forget about my wife and kids. I'd be careful of that path.
We were not created for and are not called to live a life of disassociation. Today, Pastor Pete will challenge listeners to protect themselves from living in isolation. Accountability is so important, and the Lord knows that community with other believers is crucial to get where He wants us to be. The enemy wants to isolate you, but the Lord wants to sustain your walk with Him through the support of other Christ followers. Don't run from community. Pursue it so you might grow to the fullest. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Proverbs chapter 7 as he continues part 2 of his message, Determinative Direction Continued.
Don't walk down the path of hypocrisy. It will not lead you to a destination you want to go. Can I sum up the main problem with this path, the path of hypocrisy, for you? It's this: hypocrisy always hinders holiness. That's why you don't want to be a hypocrite, because hypocrisy always hinders the pursuit of holiness. This path will lead you further and further and further away from the holiness that God has created you for. So make sure your motives are pure. Follow God with a pure heart. Don't worry if you're here at church and you feel like the fat guy showing up to the gym for the first time. That's okay. That's what church is for. But get busy. Get better. And don't let anybody else here judge you or make you feel like you're being judged. They were fat and out of shape when they showed up here the first time too. We're glad you're here. It's a good thing you're here. You're in the right place. And if you stay here long enough, and if you work at it long enough, and if you dedicate it in discipline to the Lord, and you allow Him to do a work in your life, one day you won't be the fat guy at the gym anymore. You'll be that just jacked up, pumped up guy. You know, maybe not physically, but spiritually, that everybody else will look at and go, wow, I want to be like him. But you can't ever get there if you follow the path of hypocrisy. Next, point number 2, the path of disassociation. The path of disassociation, it's a path this young man takes. This path, like many others, takes you to places you don't want to go. It's a path that in particular tends to lead people to the destination of addiction. I want to cover this because it's important, and I see a lot of people taking this path in different areas of their life. There are a lot of different kinds of addictions in life. There are a lot of different kinds of addictions that are the destination of this path. There's drug and alcohol addictions. There's pornography addiction. There's eating addictions. There's shopping addictions. There's recreational addictions. There's gambling addictions. Exercising can become an addiction. Too much of anything is a bad thing. There's social media addictions and technology addictions and gaming addictions that a lot of our young people are dealing with. They get anxious and insecure when they don't have a screen in front of them or a game to play. Some of us, this is probably mine, if I had to pick from this list, working, workaholic. Some of us fall into that if we're not careful. See, all of these and many things like them are pathways for us to forget about our pain, our struggles, our hardships, our responsibilities. It's a way for us to disassociate from life. That's why people walk down these paths, because they want to disassociate from a reality that they're trying to forget. That's what verse 18 is about. Let's back up to 16 for context. I've spread coverings on my bed, richly colored linen from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. And then listen to here, verse 18. She says, come, let's drink deeply of lovemaking until morning. Let's feast on each other's love. Can I translate this for you, what she's saying? She's saying, let's forget about everything else and let's make tonight about us. Let's be selfish with each other tonight. Let's pretend like we're the only people in the entire world. Let's pretend like life is perfect. Let's drink deep from each other. Let's feast on each other's love. Let's forget about our jobs. Let's forget about my husband, who you're going to hear about in a minute. Let's forget about all of our troubles and our stress and our responsibility. Let's just disassociate from all of that and be with each other tonight. My friends, can I tell you this is a dangerous path? Can you see it? Can you see how dangerous this path would be? Because anything that has enough power to make you forget about everything else in your life is a path you should avoid. Let me just sum this up as we've done with the other paths. The problem with this path, the problem is the path of disassociation leads you to slow deterioration. This path doesn't kill you right away. It kills you slowly. It's death by a thousand cuts. When you go to the bottle and drink so you can forget or so you can numb yourself from the pain or the stress of life, it's not going to lead you to a good destination. Might not happen that night. It might not happen that week. It may not happen this year. It might not even happen this decade. But eventually, it's going to take you to a place you don't want to go. When you watch porn to feel good about yourself and to escape this world and whatever problems you have here, to enter into a fake world with somebody else, it's not going to lead you to a good destination. That's what most people use porn for. It's an escape. It's a disassociation. It's a place where nothing else in their life matters, and they can just be selfish with themselves. When you live on social media, when you find your identity in technology and social media, you know, that's not a real place. It's not a real world. But people treat it like it is. They act like that is their life. They spend hours upon hours upon hours on those sites, trying to get away from what's out here in the real world. Our young people today, I realize this doesn't affect probably most of us who are over the age of 30, but it's even getting into our 30-year-olds because they've been so addicted to it from youth now. It's definitely in our 20-year-old population. They play games. Video games, shoot 'em up games, strategy games, whatever kind of games they are, they play games, they enter into these worlds that are designed to stimulate their minds in the most unhealthy ways possible. And they play them for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. 10, 12, 15, some people play past 24 hours without ever stopping because they're so addicted to it, and inside of that game, they can be somebody different. You see, these are not pastimes, they're pathways. They're pathways that lead you to a destination. These are not temporary diversions from life. They're pathways leading you, in many cases, to permanent destinations that are going to affect you and everybody else around you. And this is just a small list. We don't have time for me to keep going. But I'm just warning you of the pathway in general. You've got to be very, very careful with anything in your life that makes you a promise or makes you feel like you're able to disassociate from life. If there's anything coming your direction, if there's any path you're looking at that you go, you know what, if I go down that path, I can kind of get away from everything. I'd be careful of that path. When I'm walking down that path, I feel like I'm all alone. I'd be careful of that path. When I'm walking down that path, I forget about my work, I forget about my job, I forget about my wife and kids. I'd be careful of that path. Because when you take a pathway of disassociation, it leads to a slow deterioration of you and everybody around you. Your direction determines your destination, and disassociation will not take you to the destination you want to end up at. It's not going to work out for this guy. It sounds good. Some of y'all are rooting him on. You're like, woo, you go, boy. But this is not going to be good. Number three, our final one for today. Another path you got to watch out for. It's called the path of secrecy. The path of secrecy. When I was growing up, I loved the idea of a secret pathway. Anybody else? When we were out on the ranch, we built secret paths in the hay barn. We'd play down by the river out in the back of the place. We grew up on a fairly large piece of land by most people's standards. And we would, in the afternoons when we had some time off and our dads would let us, we'd saddle the horses and we'd ride to the far back of the place where the river winds through. It's wooded and, you know, there's a river back there and it just feels like you're all alone. And we would go tromping through there, cutting our way through like great explorers, inventing a path for the first time. We would pretend like we were the first people to discover that river or that little canyon or that little trail going through. We would pretend to be Davy Crockett and other great explorers. Because everybody loves a pathway. I love movies growing up like The Goonies. Amen. Indiana Jones. I loved them in part because of all the pathways, all the secret doors, all the hidden and unknown passages and spaces that they would discover along the way and navigate. When I was growing up, we played video games like Zelda and Mario. And I loved Zelda and Mario because there were secret pathways. Do you remember? Like in Zelda, you could push a rock or you could burn a bush and you'd end up in this place. Now, not every bush and not every rock. You had to know the rock and the bush, and you'd go to school and you'd ask your friends who were playing Zelda and working their way through it, like, and they'd say, oh yeah, go around this corner and take that, and you see the blue rocks, not that one, but that first red rock on the left, you know, whatever it was, and you would find that pathway and you'd just open up into this new world and you'd be like, wow. Or Mario, you could get your little Mario guy, you could go and he'd squat down sometimes on one of those green tubes and it'd suck him down into that secret pathway, that secret room, and you could collect all the coins. Like secret paths. They're alluring. We all like secret paths. It's why they're in our movies and in our games. I used to like TV shows like MacGyver. Any of y'all remember MacGyver? Wasn't full of secret pathways, but this was the thing about MacGyver. He always get his way out of something, right? And he would always do it in the way you didn't expect him to. He would find a secret path out of a situation, if you will. If I'm being honest, I still like secret paths today. I think this is in part why I've enjoyed learning to play the game of chess here in my adult years. There's just something thrilling about seeing a mate in three or a mate in four and knowing the guy on the other side doesn't see it yet. You found a secret path to bring his king down. But it's thrilling either way. There's just something very attractive and addictive and amusing about secret pathways. Now, while I've mentioned these above pathways that are fairly harmless, they illustrate the fact that there's something in our flesh that loves these things. And the problem is when we leave the movies and the video games or the chessboard and the secret paths they offer, and we enter into the secret paths of real life, they become extremely dangerous. They're still attractive, they're still addictive, and they're still on the surface. They seem very amusing and enjoyable, but many people have been ruined by going down secret pathways, haven't they? The secret path is a dangerous path. If you don't believe me, look at this young man's story, Proverbs 7, 19 through 23. The woman continues, "My husband isn't home. He went away on a long journey. He took a bag of silver with him. He won't be coming home until the full moon," she says. She seduces him with her persistent pleading. She lures him with her flattering talk. He follows her impulsively, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer bounding toward a trap, until an arrow pierces his liver, Like a bird darting into a snare, he does not know it will cost him his life. What did this lady tell this young man? In regards to this good time he's about to have, it's going to be our little secret. My husband's not here. He's out of town. And better yet, he took a bag of silver with him, and I know he's not coming back for a long time. Nobody's going to know. Let's just go to my house. We'll crawl up into my bed. I got it all ready for you. Remember the fine linens, the perfumes? We can lock the door and we can have the night to ourselves. Now, you might be looking at this and go, man, this is sick. But for this young man, this secret path is very attractive, very amusing, and could become very addictive. But you can't keep a secret from God, can you? Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good." Jeremiah proclaimed in Jeremiah 23:23, "Am I a God who is only near and not a God who is far away? Can a person hide in secret places where I cannot see him? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth?" Hebrews 4 makes it clear as well, we can't hide anything from God. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, "For the word of God is living and effective. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow." You've heard that. He says it's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You've heard that. But have you heard verse 13? "No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account." If you find what you think is a cool secret path in life, can I just tell you it's probably not going to lead you to a cool destination? If you don't want to tell your parents about your new boyfriend or girlfriend, then that's probably not the person you need to be dating. If you don't want to tell your mom and dad that you've moved in with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, then you probably don't need to be moving in with your girlfriend or boyfriend. If you don't want to tell your spouse about the person at work or the person at the gym that you've been making it a point to go and talk to every day, whether you needed to or not, here's your sign. That's probably not a pathway you need to be walking down. If your kids can't watch what's on your computer screen, and you're having to keep it a secret, get off that path. If you walk away from a business deal and go, you know what, the boss better never find out what I had to do to make this thing happen. If he does, you getting the point? The secret path is a slippery path. That's the problem with the secret path. It's a slippery path, and it always leads you to a sorry destination. That is a destination that's going to force you to say, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen. It didn't seem like that bad of a deal when it first started. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that." It's a slippery path that leads you to a sorry destination. Your direction, more than anything else in life, is going to determine your destination. And I can promise you, if you want to go down these secret paths in life, and if you think you're going to navigate them better than everybody else, it's going to be different for you. You're not going to slip and fall on the way. You're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling God, and you're not fooling those of us who have already walked down those slippery paths. Like the wise Solomon, we can look from our window and go, it's not going to end well. I can't tell you how many times I've told young people, don't marry that person. Don't do it. Oh, it's different for me, Pastor. It's different for us. He's going to start coming to church. Yeah, until you get married. I've seen it before. I know how this works. Don't do it. I can't tell you how many times I've told people, don't go down that path. Yeah, but it's just for this one deal. It's just this one business deal. If I can just make this one happen. No, don't do it. No, it's going to be different for me. I'm not going to get caught. Well, not on this one, maybe. But you're going to do it again and again and again, and you will get caught and you will get fired and you will lose your job and you might lose your career over it because nobody else will hire you after you did it. The secret path never leads you to a spectacular destination. It leads you to a sorry destination. If you're on one of these six paths we have talked about, and these aren't the only bad paths in life, they're just the ones we see here in Proverbs 7. But if you're on any of these six paths that we've talked about in these sermons, I would encourage you one final time to get off the path. Turn around, repent, and get back on the path to holiness, righteousness, loving God and loving people. Because it doesn't end well. Remember how it ends? Proverbs 7, 24 through 27. Now, sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words from my mouth, he says. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray onto her paths. For she has brought many down to death. Her victims are countless. Her house is the road to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. If you're not on the one and only path that leads to eternity, the one and only path that leads to heaven, the path that Jesus created with the cross, let me close by telling you this. The cross is the only path. It is the only way. The blood of Jesus is the only way. Forgiveness from your sins through the grace and the mercy and the love of Christ are your only hope. It's the only path to eternity. It's the only path to heaven. God made that path for you. You don't have to make it for yourself. It's a proven path. Many have found it and walked down it. It's a proven pathway from earth to heaven for you. His name is Jesus. And all who don't accept him, all who don't repent, all who don't follow him and make him the Lord and Savior of their life are ultimately on another path that leads to another place. So repent of your sins. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and be saved this very day. Get on his path for your life so you can walk into eternity in his glory one day.
Following the path that God has laid out for you is not always the easiest thing to do. You may feel like you're on your own path and you like that one better. Maybe it looks better to you than the one that God's directing you toward. What does this all mean? Here on One to Another, Pastor Pete Pavelic is helping you see the value in the path God's leading you on. It sure can have its moments of twists and turns, but he's right there beside you and he won't let you go. Trust that God's got this. As you've been listening today, we trust that what you're hearing is landing on a soft heart, willing and receptive to hearing God's plan and his will. If this message has been a great encouragement to you, we invite you to listen to even more great teachings from Dr. Pete. You can easily find these teachings at onetoanotherradio.org. While you're there, we'd love for you to be in the know of what's going on in our ministry, as well as upcoming events that Pastor Pete will be speaking at. So go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more. Before our time ends for today, Gwen has something else to mention about the radio ministry of One to Another. Tell us all about it, Gwen.
Sure thing, Phil. Did you know that One to Another Radio is listener supported? We're so happy to be on the air and for new listeners to be tuning in each and every day. But something we'd like you to be aware of is that it's listeners like you who keep us going in the ministry. That's right, we have people listening in from all over the country, and once they hear about our ministry, they many times feel led to send a donation gift, which helps cover the funding for radio. Would you be interested in coming alongside us and partnering with us in this way? We would be so blessed by that. All you have to do is send a donation to onetoanotherradio.org. And guess what? If you're new to donating to our ministry this month, we're going to send you a gift of the month. How awesome is that? We can't wait to multiply the blessings that come our way by giving back to our listeners. So once again, head over to onetoanotherradio.org to donate and to learn more about Pastor Pete and the ministry going on here. Thanks for listening, and here's Phil again.
Gwen, we're glad you shared that information. In case any of our listeners missed that website, it's onetoanotherradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Pete will be back with another solid teaching from God's Word next time on One to Another.